Bring your Bible. Those of you that have your app, Bibles on your apps, you go ahead and get that out on your phone or whatever device you have. But if you need a Bible, the gatekeepers are coming and they're going to give you one. Just got to hold your hand up. And I'm going to ask you to remain seated as we make a confession over the word, just like we did over your seed. And we won't be before you long. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you got your Bible, you got your app, whatever device you got, somebody said, in my hand, say, I hold the book of life. Say, according to this book, my life is destined for greatness. Say, with the seed of God's word, I will produce abundant fruit. And with confidence, I confess that God has a purpose. One more time. God has a purpose and a plan for my life in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I am going to introduce a new series today. If you're a note taker, you want to note it down. We're going to be teaching as an introduction today about cultivating and creating a fruitful increase. Cultivating and creating a fruitful increase. And this will probably be the finishing touch or the last series that we will be teaching throughout the remaining of this year. I have been trying to follow the vision that we have been using. This year is the year of increase and blessing. And I have tried to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit to teach subjects and topics relating to that vision so that we can fully capture that vision and benefit from it, because God does want to increase and bless our lives. So cultivating and creating a fruitful increase, that is our series. Now, everything in God must bear some meaningful fruit. That is everything. It is what God determines, and it's also what God demands. In fact, if I can say this, it is insulting to God to declare him as your source and not produce any fruit. Why do I say that? Because God will never own or take credit for an unproductive thing or person claiming him as their source. He is not the author, nor is he the developer of anything that cannot produce. One of the main reasons why Jesus cursed the fig tree in Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, was because it was not bearing fruit. It says, and along the way Jesus saw a fig tree, but when he came to it, he found only leaves and no figs. And so he told the tree, you will never again grow any fruit. And right then, the fig tree dried up. And it died. And so what I want us to understand is that cultivating and creating fruitful increase is a goal of God's. And it should be a goal to us. And so in this introduction teaching today, as a subtitle, I want to look at keys to a fruitful increase. Keys to a fruitful increase. And there are keys in the scripture that can show us how to have a fruitful increase. In 2 Corinthians, you should have it, chapter 9 and verse 10. I'm going to read it a little bit, paraphrase it, but it says, God, he ministers seed to the sower, both bread and for food, and he multiplies the seed, it says, sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It is God who increases the fruits of our lives. It is his goal. It is his desire that we increase, that we have a fruitful increase. And so when it comes to fruitfulness, God will always bear on the side of having more fruit. In other words, God is not interested in less, but more. He is interested in more of the things that you can do, more of the things you can accomplish. In fact, the Bible speaks very clearly when it talks about you being someone who is an overcomer. So he is interested in more and not less. John 15:8, Jesus said, "My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit." Are you listening to me today? In other words, it is honorable, listen to me, to God, to see you plentiful, abundant, without lack, and having all of your needs supplied. That brings honor to God. That when God looks out and he sees you and he sees your life and he sees that your life is increasing, that there is addition, there is more in your life each and every day, God said, that honors me. It pleases me. No person in God is supposed to be fruitless or unproductive. No person. If anyone declares or claims they have a relationship with God, that they are connected to God, and that God is their source, then there should be evidence of that through the fruitfulness of your life. So no person is supposed to be fruitless or unproductive. Check out Jesus' response to being fruitless in John chapter 15. I'll quote it, verse 1. He says, "Every branch in me," that's a connection, "that bears not fruit, God takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, God will purge," and that simply means he will make it better, "that it may bring forth more fruit." So we cannot say, I am connected to a source that is abundance in resources, that is described as having everything, and not be fruitful. Jesus says the reaction to a unproductive connection to me is that the Father will remove it. That's what he says. So let me repeat again. We cannot be in God and not bear any fruit. I want you to repeat something after me. Say, somebody say, God expects me. Come on, say it again. Say, God expects me to be fruitful. He expects you to be fruitful. Before we came to God, we looked a certain way. I'm not talking about physical appearance. Before we came to God, we acted a certain way. Before we came to God, we were limited in our full potential and capability. But once we made God our source, things were supposed to change for the better. I'm not talking about external things, because you're going to always have opposition and the adversary and those opposing you externally trying to prevent you and stop you. But for you as a person, as an individual, connected to a source that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipotent, the results from that connection is supposed to be increase. You should be better than you was before you got saved. You should be wiser now than you was before you got saved. Hello, somebody. There should be increase. Because you cannot be connected to God and not bear fruits. Now, the word fruitful, it first appeared in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 22 and verse 28. And one of the commands in verse 22 was for creation. It says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowls of the birds multiply in the earth. The second of that command was in verse 22, and that was for man. It says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over everything that moves in or on the earth. Please note this down, that the word fruitful means adding to what's already there. I'll repeat it. Fruitful means adding to what's already there. Or we can say producing more of something. Producing more of something. It is taking what exists and finding ways to increase it. That's an important statement. You should jot that down. I'm going to tell you why. It is taking what already exists and finding ways to increase it. Why is that statement important? Please note this down. And that is because God provides the potential and not the labor. He provides the potential but not the labor. Which leads us into our first key. Here's key number one. And that is, one of the keys to a fruitful increase is W-O-R-K. Work. Work. That's one of the keys to a fruitful increase. Somebody repeat after me. Say, work is necessary. Say it again. Say, work is necessary. Work is necessary. Having a diligent work ethic increases your chance of becoming more fruitful. It's necessary. Work is a blessing, according to the Word of God. In fact, work is so important to the Word of God and to Scripture that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, if any do not work, neither shall they eat. It is essential to giving you an opportunity to become more fruitful. The simplest way I can define work is what I call active potential. Active potential. Now, again, now, God provides the potential, but not the labor. So the definition, another way to define it to me, is active potential. It is potential that exists and is waiting to be used. That's all it is. Potential that exists and waiting to be used. All potential, for that matter, when active, produces more. So one of the keys to a fruitful increase is work. God has given all of us potential, but he will not work for us. I got one amen. He provides the potential, but not the labor. So he said to creation, he says, be fruitful. I put the seed there, potential. He says to man, be fruitful. Potential is in you. Now do something with it. Work is basically what he was saying. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at something there. And so all potential, when active, produces more. The opposite is true when it comes to dormant potential. Because dormant potential will only lead to poverty, or it will only lead to less. What am I saying? I am trying to excite you to get busy. I'm trying to motivate you and to stir you to the point where you would become active with your potential. God wants you to bear more fruit. More than what you have now, God wants you to have even more. Anybody in agreement with that? Look at Proverbs chapter 6. It's interesting because this Proverbs talks about not being active and the results of that in the book of Proverbs chapter 6. I want to start reading. I'm going to read out of two different translations, but I want to start reading at verse 9. Here's what it says, and don't say ouch if you find yourself in these verses. Verse 9 says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O slugger? When wilt thou arise out of your sleep? Yet you say, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to sleep. So shall poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy wants as an armed man." So it says, too much relaxation, too much snoring, too much sleeping, too much excuses, too much procrastination will lead to less. I've given you the potential. All I'm asking for is labor. Let's look at the same verses out of a different translation. I'm sure you'll like it. This is the contemporary translation. It says, "How long will you lie there doing nothing at all? When are you going to get up and stop sleeping? Sleep a little, doze a little, fold your hands and twiddle your thumbs, and suddenly everything is gone as though it had been taken by an armed robber. It goes away." And that's why Jesus looked at the fig tree and said, "You're not producing anything. So therefore, die." Key number one to fruitful increase is work. Give God something that he can multiply. Are you listening to me? I don't care if it's an idea, huh? Maybe it's a dream, maybe it's a vision, some kind of aspiration or something you want to aspire to do. Give him something so that he can provide the opportunity for you to increase. Can you say amen? Another key to fruitful increase, if you would allow me just a few more moments, that is sowing. A key to a fruitful increase is sowing. I want to break this all down. We just quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 10. It says, again, God will multiply your seed. It says, sown. Now, another word we can exchange from the word sowing is investing. Investment means to put money, you can say, to use. By purchasing or expenditures, they say, so that it may cause increase. Sowing is investing. No seed, no increase. You must give a little to get a little. Does that make sense? Another key to fruitful increase is sowing. God is not a robber. He is not a thief. He is fully aware of where you are financially. But the law does not have any respect to a person. That's why the scripture says God is not mocked, meaning he is not any respect of person. Whatsoever man or woman sow, that shall they do what? They shall reap. Invest your time into God. I promise you, you will benefit. Devote time to God, giving God your time. You're going to reap something. You're going to increase something, whether it gives you strength, maybe it increases your faith, maybe it makes you even more determined, more focused, more disciplined. If you invest time with God, some area in your life is going to increase. Can I get another amen to that? It will happen. It is inevitable that you cannot make an investment in God and not get a return. It will never happen that way. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, you sow an apple, God's going to give you an apple tree. You sow an orange seed, God's going to give you an orange tree. Amen, somebody. You sow patience. You sow kindness. You sow love. You sow meekness. It's going to come back to you a hundredfold. Key number two for fruitful increase is sowing. Can I pose a question to you? Don't answer, just listen. Is there some area in your life that you need to increase in? And that's not just limited to just money and finances, though we can all do well to have more money, but is there other areas in your life that will do you well to increase in? Sow in it. Sow. And believe God. The next one I give you because of time. A key to a fruitful increase is multiplication. Write it down. Again, 2 Corinthians 9:10, God will multiply. He will multiply the seed that you sow. Multiplication is the diversity of investment. It is one of the best ways to increase your wealth. Multiplication. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, there's two verses there you all are familiar with. Verse 1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. Verse 2 says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. Multiplication. It is important to know how to diversify, to multiply, because in that multiplication, you are setting yourself up for increased return. Say it again with me. Say, God wants to increase me. Have you provided God with multiple options to bless your life? Think about that. I'm going to say it again. Have you provided God with multiple ways to bless your life? Or do you just have this one narrow view and focus on just doing that one thing, maybe for just that one person, and that's your only stream of return? But have you diversified yourself in such a way where you do things that will provide multiple opportunities for God to return it to you that way, he can return it to you that way, and he can return it to you that way. Can I give you an example? You're faithful to God and you faithfully contribute to the ministry of God is wonderful. But has the Lord ever laid on your heart to support a missionary? What about your neighbor next door? They're having difficulty being a single parent, trying to raise those kids or that boy, and you take it upon yourself and you say, I'm going to be a mentor in their life. I'm going to invest in this kid. I'm going to invest in this child to make sure they have an opportunity to get on the right path. That's a multiple screen of God saying, wow, you willing to do that? I'm going to bless you in that area. How about giving to others who are simply in need? Maybe your need might just be greater than their need, but because you want to be a blessing to them, you open up another stream. Because the scripture says, he that blesses or gives even to the poor is like giving a loan to God. And God will always repay his debt. Somebody say multiply. Multiplication is another form of fruitful increase. And I understand, having been in a similar situation, how you can look at your resources and your resources can make a determination in your mind not to do something, but you can't limit it to that. What does God say in his word? If you're limited to just what you see with your resources, you may miss the opportunity. Have you forgotten the story of the poor woman who had a son, and the prophet came to her house, and he wanted to eat, and all they had a little bit, and she said, this is all I got. Me and my boy, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. He said, don't do that. He said, just create another screen for yourself. Give me what you have first. She obeyed the man of God. And the Bible said her oil never ran out. It said for a whole year they was abundantly blessed, even in a time of famine. How is that possible? I did a teaching early on this year on how God does miracles at unusual moments and unusual times. You see, you don't have to be limited to the economy of this world, the depressions of this world, if you make sure that you are diversifying in God. Because even when the economy collapses in this world, God's economy is still standing. It's still intact. And that's your source. Can you say amen? That's where you get your revenue from. But that comes by way of multiple or multiplication. I want to close with Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to end it here. Everybody get Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want to read something and end this teaching today. And we're going to go next week. And I sure hope you come back next week. We're going to talk about increasing the value of your fruitfulness. That's what we're going to talk about. You got value, man. And you will be amazed of the value that you carry with you. Even though you may not sit in a CEO position with a multi-million or billion-dollar company, you yet still have value. And we're going to talk about increasing the value of your fruitfulness. But let's close with Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want you to listen to God as he speaks to your heart as we close this message out today. And this is for you today. I'm so glad that you are here today. This is what God wants you to hear. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 11, he says, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which I command you this day to do them. Verse 12, wherefore it shall come to pass, if you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto your fathers. 13, and he will love you, amen, and bless you, amen, and multiply you. Please stop right there. God said, man, you make me feel so good when you understand being productive. Remember, it's honorable to God. God says, you will cause me to love you, he says, because I am so honored by your desire to be fruitful. Love you, he says, and he says, bless you, and then he says, multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of your wombs, that's your children, and the fruit of your land, whatever you own, your possessions, and thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And then he says again, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep and the land which he sware unto your fathers to give it unto you. Let me read the verse 15. And thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren, that means not fruitful, barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away. Woo, glory to God. You ready for this? And the Lord will take away from you all sicknesses, COVID-19, cancer, AIDS, diabetes, heart pressure, blood pressure, whatever it is. He will take away all sicknesses, and he's going to throw them right back at your enemy. He's going to put them. He will put none of these evil disease, and it will put none of these evil disease of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon you, but will lay them upon all of them that's trying to oppose you. That's why I've been teaching and talking about this for many times. Listen, you don't have to worry about getting revenge. You don't have to worry about getting back at people. That's not your responsibility. It's up to the Lord to take care of that. You just remain fruitful. Hallelujah. You just stay focused on the prize. Keep on looking how to please God and to bring glory to God. You forgot what Jesus said? He says it brings glory to God when you are fruitful. So God, how can I glorify you? God, how can I magnify you? God, how can I exalt you? God, how can I bless you? Just be fruitful, son. Just be productive. Just get to work. Just multiply. Just sow your seed. That's how you honor me. He says, no sickness will be permitted to come near you. Because all that does is impede or interrupts your fruitfulness. It just interferes with what I'm trying to do in your life. So I can't allow you to get sick right now. Come on, somebody bless the Lord. Come on, clap your hands and bless the Lord. Say, God wants, come on, shout it loud. Say, God wants to increase me. He wants to increase you. Close your books, close your Bibles. Please stand to your feet. It is time that you start being fruitful. It is time that you have a fruitful increase. Come on. Some of y'all been getting one thing, two things, three things. It's about time that you get a whole bundle. You get a whole branch. You get a whole tree of fruitful things happening in your life. Not just one occasion. Not just every now and then. Not just once a year. But we're talking about 12 times out of a year, blessings flowing and coming into your life, coming your way, overtaking you, consuming you, as the scripture says, tracking you down and running you over. That's increase, somebody. Are you listening to me? That's increase. Increase is not just having enough. Increase is not just getting by. Increase is not just average. That's not my definition of increase. And it's certainly not God's definition of increase. No one who claims God as their source should be unproductive. No one who claims God as their source should be fruitless. You are connected to a source that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that you can ask out of your mouth or think into your mind. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Somebody say, it's my time to be fruitful. Say, it's my time to experience increase. And that's why you're here. That's why God brought you here. It's your time. It's your time to experience a fruitful increase. Can you lift your hands towards heaven? We're going to pray. Jesus said, I am the vine, but the Father, our God, is the husbandry. He's the one who oversees the vineyard. And it is his desire that you be fruitful. I cannot emphasize that enough. I sure hope you're listening to the Spirit of God speaking today. It is his desire. He determines and he demands it. So don't let any current situation in your life deny you of more. I don't care if you had failure in your life, you made mistakes in your life, you've done something you shouldn't have done, you are yet entitled to more. Oh, Rabababakiramashoka. Father, I declare today that those that are present and any who is listening to the sound of my voice will receive this word with rejoicing in their hearts. That they would be like the woman who came to Jesus, whose daughter was seriously vexed with a devil. And Jesus said, no, what we have, we cannot give the bread to dogs. This is for the children of Israel. But she did not walk away insulted. She sat there and she stayed and fell on her knees and said, Jesus, even the dogs, though not deserving, they eat the crumbs. It blew Jesus away. He said, never have I found any such faith in the whole house of Israel, the church. He said, woman, get ready for increase. Your daughter shall be healed. Somebody need healing as increase today. Somebody need a breakthrough as increase today. Somebody need a miracle as an increase today. Somebody need favor. Somebody need an open door. Somebody need full and complete recovery as a breakthrough. I will not let you go, said Jacob. I will not let you go, angel, until you bless me. Oh, my. Are you receiving this? You got to receive this. Before I let you go, you got to receive this. You got to receive this. Let this word be sown in you. I declare it in Jesus' name that this is for you for such a time as this. I declare it in Jesus' name. It's your day. It's your time for increase. Father, we thank you for the word. We receive the word. We celebrate the word. And we honor you as our source. And he or she that has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. Can I get you to shout amen and clap your hands? Amen.